Please sit for the reading which Beryl is going to read for us.
The reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 19, and can be found on page 957 of the Pew Bibles. Colossians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We've heard God's word in the gospel. Let us pray that we may take it into our lives and be changed by it. If we know these words, let's pray them together. O God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to respond to it with courage. Amen. Amen. Please sit down. Certain parts of Scripture are really familiar to most Christians, probably none more so than the words of the Lord's Prayer. Most of us here probably learnt it as children. Perhaps we learned the old words with its thines and its trespasses. Perhaps we got it muddled at some point. And you've probably heard about God's name being Howard or Harold. Well, I heard a new one of those last week with a slightly modern touch. A little girl prays, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some email." Now, we say the words of the Lord's Prayer more often than any other, but are the words so familiar that we sometimes miss the power behind them? In the next few minutes, I'd like to draw on the thoughts of five, in my view, extraordinary Christians from the last century and this. Three of them are well known throughout the world, and two of them better known to us here. Now, the first of these is Rowan Williams, former Archbishop of Canterbury. He made three points that I think are particularly relevant. First, the Lord's Prayer is radical. Radical in the sense of revolutionary. Secondly, the Lord's Prayer is about relationship. And thirdly, the Lord's Prayer is not easy. So, how is it radical or revolutionary? Well, firstly, it's radical in that through Jesus, we can talk to God as members of his family. Now, much of the content of the Lord's Prayer would have been well known to the disciples from the Jewish prayers of the time. But this speaking to God as Father and using an intimate form was new and was revolutionary. Secondly, it's radical because it challenges us to want to be participants in God's kingdom. When we say, "Your kingdom come," we are not talking about a place or a state which will only exist in the future. We are talking about something that Jesus Christ has already instituted. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "In Jesus Christ, we experience the inbreaking of God's kingdom on earth. The kingdom is being made on earth as, day by day, we, the people of God, learn to be reconciled to God and to each other." As Bonhoeffer says, it is through our praying for the kingdom to come that we enter into the kingdom. In doing so, we are aligning ourselves with God's will for us and for the world. And thirdly, the Lord's Prayer is radical and revolutionary because it's about bringing the whole world and all its people into line with God. For God's will and purpose for us and for the world to be evident at all times and in all places. Now, very clearly, that's not the case now. It's not God's will for wars, for terrorism, for people to be driven from their homes in fear, for starvation, for homelessness, for greed, for excessive consumption, for the destruction of the resources created for all our benefits. That's not God's will. And it's radical and revolutionary for us to ask for these things to change. The Lord's Prayer is very much about relationship. As we've just seen, our relationship with God and with his creation, but also with each other. Now, it's no accident that there is no I in the Lord's Prayer. It's all we and you. It's not a prayer for personal salvation. We have become brothers and sisters to Jesus and to each other through what Jesus has done for us. Through Jesus, as members of the church, Christ's body on earth, we are bound together in Christ and under God. And by the way, that's also why, as Rachel told us so clearly last week, it's so important for us to be reconciled to each other. This theme of reconciliation runs right through the Lord's Prayer. When we ask God for forgiveness, yes, we are asking each of us for God to forgive us as individuals. But even when we pray alone, we say, forgive us our sins, or debts, or trespasses, or whatever. So it's about reordering our collective wrongness into collective rightness with God's will for the world. Now, later in the service, we're going to demonstrate that reconciliation as we share the sign of peace. Now, when we do this, we're not greeting each other as new or old friends, but as family, as sisters and brothers reconciled to each other, whatever our differences, reconciled to each other in Christ. Now, the Lord's Prayer is not easy. It's not a prayer for an easy life or for living in easy times. These are not easy times. It's not about accepting the status quo with its extremes of wealth and poverty and its violence. It's about bringing about change. The change that's inherent in God's kingdom. Change in the world and change in us. When we ask for our daily bread, we are recognizing that this is not a given for all people. Not everybody can take for granted that they will get their daily bread. We may be able to pop down to Waitrose every time we run out, but not everyone can do that. When we ask for our daily bread, we are asking for enough for today, not for more than we need. We are not asking for an assured supply far into the future. We're asking for enough for today. The Lord's Prayer requires us to change. It's not about confirming us in our ordinary attitudes. It's a challenge to change. When we ask for forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer, we are committing ourselves to change ourselves and to be changed. Now, I've quoted Rowan Williams and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, famous names. I'm going to embarrass John now, because he's the third of my extraordinary Christians. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, so I consulted John, who I know is, even though he never makes a big thing about him. I wanted to know why there was such variation in the translations. Sins, trespasses, temptation, time of trial, and so on. And John has helped me to conclude that we really need not worry too much about these, because we're never going to get back to a single meaning for all time. And actually, we're better off with these variations because they allow God to speak to us more clearly in our own times. None of Scripture, and the Lord's Prayer in particular, are about a freezing in time of ancient words. But they're about a living expression of our relationship with each other before God. As the writer of Hebrews tells us, the word of God is alive and active. Having looked at the what of the Lord's Prayer, I'd like us to think a little now about the how. How we can pray the Lord's Prayer. And my fourth extraordinary Christian is someone some of us here today will remember very well. Norman Chatfield was vicar here up till 1982. And Norman preached a sermon on the Lord's Prayer in the early 80s, and it touched me as the new Christian I was at the time. Norman suggested we should take the Lord's Prayer slowly. Not wolf it down in one go. Savour it, like a good meal or a fine wine. Break it down into sections. Pause. Think. Reflect. Listen. I found that such good advice then, and I still think it is today. So if it's not something you've ever done, try it. And we're going to give it a go later on when we say the Lord's Prayer later in the service. We're going to insert some pauses and give a little time for God to speak to us in that moment. Now you'll realise that I'm coming close to the end, thankfully perhaps, when I say that my fifth and final extraordinary Christian is a French woman called Simone Veil. In a short life, dedicated to God and to humanity, she wrote some amazing things about prayer. One of which is that its essence is attention or attentiveness. She meant making an intense effort of concentration, both in the making or saying of the prayer and also in attending, listening to the response. And she wrote this of prayer in general, but also specifically of the Lord's Prayer, knowing that it can often be said without thought or effort because it's so familiar. Now, her personal practice was to pray the Lord's Prayer on her own, contemplating each part of it separately. But if she were ever distracted, she would go back to the beginning and start again, until she could complete the whole prayer in this way, totally focused, with no distraction. I believe this sometimes took her hours. Now, perhaps we don't have that sort of determination or dedication or time, but I think her notion of attentiveness is one that we can learn a lot from. There's so much more to say about the Lord's Prayer. This has been very, very far from a comprehensive coverage. But I'd like to conclude with some more words from Rowan Williams. If somebody said, "Give me a summary of Christian faith on the back of an envelope," the best thing to do would be to write our Lord's Prayer. Amen.